Hello everyone, it's Mark Goodacre here. Welcome to the NT Pod, the podcast all about the New Testament and Christian origins. It's episode 118, and today I'm asking, can we trust Luke's portrait of Paul in Acts? I'm teaching a course on Paul this semester, and one of the things I like to do straight off the bat is get to the question of sources. I suppose once a source critic, always a source critic. And really for Paul, there are two important sources. Number one, Paul's epistles. Number two, Acts of the Apostles. And the real question for any scholar of Paul is, how much do we trust Acts? Should we see it as a largely fictionalizing kind of pseudo-biography in which the early church is glorified? Or should we see it as a valuable second source for reconstructing Paul's biography? And scholars fall all over the spectrum on this one. I'd like to explore the topic in several ways. I suppose the way that I was always introduced to this one was thinking of the great F.C. Bauer, who talked about how Acts of the Apostles patronizes Paul and Paulinizes Peter. It's a neat way of talking about things. In other words, you play down the elements of historical conflict between Peter and Paul and big up Paul so he becomes more like Peter, and big up Peter so he becomes more like Paul. And Bauer thought that the true Paul is the person that you see in the letters, and that Luke is kind of doing a clever act of papering over the cracks, making the early church just seem so much more harmonious and happy, much more so than it was actually in history. I mean, Acts is a fascinating book because when you start the book, you're convinced that you're going to see the stories of all of the apostles, or at least the central apostles that we meet in Luke's gospel, which is the prior work before Acts of the Apostles, the kind of volume one, if you like. And quite quickly, the 12 as a group vanish. Peter still stays part of the action, but he's gone after chapter 15. And then we have a surprise new character, Paul, who enters the scene briefly in Acts 7, then more fully in Acts chapter 9. And the second half of Acts of the Apostles is really Paul's story. Paul becomes kind of the hero of the book. One curiosity, though. The title itself of the book makes us reflect on this. Acts of the Apostles. The Apostles. Luke has no trouble at all calling the 12 disciples apostles. They're apostles for him, people sent, commissioned. When Matthias replaces Judas amongst the 12, he has to be someone who has been with Jesus from the Galilee days and who has witnessed the resurrection. Now, Luke doesn't tend to call Paul an apostle. He seems almost wary about doing it. There are just two occasions in Acts 14, twice, Paul and Barnabas are called apostles. So it's not that Paul is never called an apostle, but it's rare. And it's striking given that when you read Paul's epistles, he's really insistent on his apostolic identity. I mean, look at Galatians 1:1, the very first verse of the epistle to the Galatians. Paul, an apostle sent neither by human commission nor from human authorities, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. 1 Corinthians 9:1-2. Am I not free? Am I not an apostle? There's that line. Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? 2 Corinthians 11:5. I think that I am not in the least inferior to these superlative apostles. So it's kind of striking that Paul really emphasizes that apostolic nature. And the curiosity is that on two of those occasions, he links his apostolic status with having seen the resurrected Jesus. It's very similar in 1 Corinthians 15, where he basically puts himself at the end of this list of appearances of the risen Jesus. That makes Luke's reticence to talk about Paul as an apostle all the more striking. Could it have been that it was a controversial topic, whether or not Paul was an apostle? Maybe so. Maybe a lot of early Jesus followers like Peter and James and John and others, maybe they were reticent to talk about Paul as an apostle because in their view, they hadn't seen the risen Jesus in the same way that they had. shortly after his crucifixion. Maybe they were reticent because Paul hadn't experienced any life with Jesus while he was roaming Israel. Maybe that's what's going on. Part of me wonders whether we just tend to overplay this a little bit, though. Because after Acts 16, no one's really called an apostle. So for half the book, the term apostle just is dropped more or less altogether. So it's not just that Paul is only a couple of times called an apostle. Nobody's called an apostle after a certain point in Acts. Now, that's potentially quite interesting. Maybe this is a terrible analogy, but it reminds me of those people that say that in Doctor Who, the Doctor in the old days, in old Doctor Who, never kissed anybody. And the reason why that's not ever so striking is that nobody much kisses anybody in the first 25, 26 years or so of Doctor Who. So it's not really too surprising. So maybe we shouldn't make too much of this question of whether or not Paul is an apostle. Especially as I'm always wary of any argument that says so-and-so never calls someone something except when they do. So in other words, to say Luke never calls Paul an apostle, well, except when he does in chapter 14. So I'm not inclined to lean on this one as heavily as some people are. I suppose the thing for me is, it's that Paul really stresses his being an apostle, really stresses it. Whereas for Luke, this is something that is just a little bit less at the centre of the way that he depicts Paul. There are other difficulties with looking at Acts of the Apostles as a source for Paul. One of my teachers, E.P. Sanders, used to say right at the beginning of his course on the life and letters of Paul, he used to say that to use Acts of the Apostles for Paul's history is difficult, and to use Acts of the Apostles for Paul's theology is wrong. So that was like pretty precise. And what he was basically saying is, if you want to get a sense of what Paul's actual theological thinking is, you have to go to the man himself, not to somebody else that's reporting on him. And you can see why that obtains, because if you look at Acts of the Apostles, lots of the themes that come through in Paul's epistles simply are not prominent. I mean, writers that believed that justification by faith is at the center of Paul's gospel were always shocked when they went to Acts of the Apostles and could barely find any sign of it. Similarly, for those, I would include myself in this, who see participation in Christ as being absolutely at the heart of Paul's thinking, are surprised when they find that this is not so much of a theme in Acts. And remember that when you listen to Paul's speeches in Acts, they don't sound that different from Peter's speeches. So for lots of people, what's going on in Acts of the Apostles is we're hearing a little bit more of the way that the author Luke crafts those speeches. One of the things that I find really striking about Acts of the Apostles too is there's no hint of Paul as a letter writer. If there's one thing that we think of when we think of Paul, it's that he wrote these amazing epistles, at least seven undisputed epistles for most scholars. And he's never depicted writing in Acts of the Apostles. And it's not that no one's depicted writing. In fact, people are regularly writing in Acts of the Apostles. Perhaps the most extraordinary thing here is at the end of Acts chapter 15, we have the apostles, the elders in Jerusalem, writing this letter to send out to the churches, the apostolic decree, so-called. And when this letter goes out, who takes it but Paul and Silas? So Paul and Silas carry other people's letters, but not their own. And remember that Silas, assuming he's the same person as Silvanus, co-writes 1 and 2 Thessalonians. Well, some people think 2 Thessalonians is not Bible, but the authors of those two books, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy. So that's fascinating detail as well. Why does Luke not make Paul a letter writer? Maybe it's just so well known that he doesn't need to say it. I don't know. I'm not sure how we explain that fascinating lack. Also, there's only a hint in Acts of the Apostles of one of Paul's biggest concerns, the collection for the saints in Jerusalem. It just gets the one mention in Acts 24:17, almost in passing. But it's a massive issue in Paul's letters. 1 Corinthians 16, 2 Corinthians 9, Romans 15. You get this real focus on Paul making this collection for the saints in Jerusalem. It makes you wonder if something happened that makes Luke not want to report on that collection. If it had been fantastically successful and Paul had arrived in Jerusalem, given over these alms from his Gentile churches, and it had been received, with open arms, maybe that would have been mentioned as a key thing. I don't know. How do we then look at Acts alongside Paul's letters? Do we put Acts completely to one side, or should we go to Acts for key elements in Paul's biography? The more extreme view is that we solely go with a letter-based chronology. And this is especially associated with John Knox, who wrote Chapters in a Life of Paul back in 1954. And it's been celebrated by other scholars, including my colleague at Duke, Douglas Campbell, who writes, when he writes his biography of Paul, he writes an epistolary framework. And I think this is basically right. I think we should begin with Paul's letters. But my question here isn't so much, do we just begin with them? It's also, do we do anything with that? Do we put it completely to one side? Or do we take it seriously as a potential historical source? I think one of the hardest things is focused around the question of Jerusalem. How many times did Paul go to Jerusalem? In Acts of the Apostles, he seems to make 5 visits to Jerusalem post his call or conversion. But in Paul's letters, we can only trace 3 of those. And particularly difficult is the very first visit to Jerusalem, which Paul says didn't happen until 3 years after his call, whereas in Acts it seems to happen straight away. If we could find a resolution to this big issue, we might be on track to answering those difficult questions, or at least getting some insight on those difficult questions about how Luke portrays Paul in Acts of the Apostles. So that's what I'd like to look at next time on the NT Pod. Well, thanks so much for listening to this latest episode of the NT Pod. It's always great to have your company. You can find me on the web at podacre.blogspot.com. You can watch this on YouTube at Podacre. Great pleasure to have your company. I look forward to seeing you again soon. Bye-bye.